and that's recording. So, hi, my name is Jackie Neal. I'm recording this interview from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in the Tacony neighborhood. This is for the oral history project, the Tacony Oral History Project called Common Ground, and it's supported by Mural Arts Philadelphia and conducted at the Tacony Arts Lab. I'm here with my participant. Hello.
Hi.
How are you today?
Okay.
Good. You're looking nice and tan.
Mm-hmm.
So you and I have met several times here at the Community Arts Lab, and some of the things that really intrigue me about what we talk about is that you maintain a local garden. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Well, I used to live on Princeton and State Road for 5 years, and we had a big yard. And I had, had big pear trees and cherry trees and a lot of flowers and all. They were a lot older, so I started to redo them, and I got in a garden there. Now that I live on Keystone and Newer, I have took over like a 40 by 40 by 40 fenced-in yard that's in the park itself.
Mm-hmm.
So it was there. I knew the owner, the one that originally started it over 35 years ago. I helped him put the fence in. I haven't actually seen him in over 25 years, but when I moved back to from Florida, I lived right across the street from it. I decided to take it over again.
Excuse me for one second. Okay, you were saying that, from what I heard, that you said that you were on State Road in Princeton, and is that the house that you grew up in?
No,
but that was the one that you lived in before you went to
Florida?
Yeah,
I came to redo it because I'm a contractor by trade, and I needed a place to live because my place before that had a fire, so I needed a place real quick, and a friend of mine said, I got a buddy of mine that could use someone to live there and to help redo the house. So that's what I did. And I stayed there for 5 years.
And then you moved to Florida.
Well, I also know I have a place down in Florida. I have a little trailer that I've had for the last 20 years. Because of me being a contractor and for working for these big contractors, they all own property in Florida, Canada, West Virginia, all over the place, so I was allowed to go, and we do a lot of fishing and nature stuff, so I do a lot of stuff down in the Keys.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's how I started going down there.
Oh, wow.
And, how I got the place where I'm at now in Florida, it's just a trailer park that I handle. The owner was a major boat maker. He made custom boats. So we were friends with him, and I rent a trailer from him, and I maintain him.
How frequently do you go back to
Florida? I haven't been down here in 2 years since I came up. There were some complications with my children, so I would always spend the winter down there and come up in the summer and still work as a roofer and a contractor because it's so hot down there during the summer months. And then I would, go back down during the winter months. And I was doing that for almost 20 years.
Wow.
So I have a pet alligator down there.
That's what I heard. Tell me about your pet alligator.
Yes, and I actually, my pictures I took, I haven't never took one on my phone of him, but I have pictures down in Florida.
What do you mean you have a pet alligator?
Well, there was this little swamp area down below the trailer park. And I was down there doing some fishing, and I'm real into the nature. Like, I go back back where the wild boar are. I do a lot of stuff like that. I was down there messing around, and there was an alligator, baby ones, maybe 2 foot long. So I started feeding chicken, whatever, scraps, don't eat anything. Well, one day he followed me home. Now I was maybe about a quarter of a block away, and I had pizza. And for some reason, he loves pizza. And he'll actually, if I have a pizza, he'll smell it. I can put it out, like I'll bring a pizza home and I'll put it out and wait a couple minutes and he'll come out of the thing and he'll run like a dog. It's amazing. Now he knows, like, what nights that I'll come home with a pizza. It's like the problem was he got a little too big. And one time he almost, he's long, as long as you feed him, he's okay. I'm actually can touch him. I can flip him on his back. And with alligators, you can rub their stomach and they'll go into a trance.
You can actually,
and I don't care how big they are. They have a thing about rubbing their stomach and they freeze.
No way, really?
Yeah. You can put your hands in their mouth, anything. They do not move. As long as he's fed, he's pretty cool. Neighbors don't like him too much, but they're all over the place down
there. What's his name?
His name's Rocky. Rocky. And
of course.
Yeah. And it's pretty cool. He's about 4 foot now.
How old is he?
I guess he was maybe 2 years, 3 years old when I found him. Well, he's got to be 10 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, they get old. They can grow 50, 75 years old. They have them down there pretty large, them and the iguanas. The iguanas along the inlets, like if you're riding, especially in the Keys. Keys are a whole different than any other part of Florida.
Is that where your trailer is, in the Keys?
Yes.
Yeah. How did it survive last year after the big...
Not bad.
Oh, that's good.
No, I'm glad to hear that. The boats got it pretty bad. The inlet. Certain areas did. See, the Keys, you have one route. So one side, you're in the Gulf of Mexico. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking a road as big as Tarzal Avenue. One way, one way. You're one side, you're in Gulf of Mexico. And the other side is the Atlantic Ocean. So it's a whole different area down there than up north Florida.
Yeah.
The environment down there, it's getting bad because of pollution and everything.
So, in the Keys or in North?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
But it's like anything in over the, you know, with the plastic. A lot of it has with the plastic and dumping in the oceans, and it's a big concern right now.
Wow. So you said that you moved back up here 2 years ago.
Yeah, I haven't been down here. Yeah.
Amount of time. And that was right around when you started to take care of, or?
No, what I did was I kept this place on Princeton and Starsdale. But I always had a place there. It didn't matter because I redesigned it, made it to be a sober house for men over, I didn't want kids in there with drug problems and everything else, so I just had people that were on Social Security, men. See, it's easier to handle. So I got it to that point for them. The problem was the owner was a sober but impulsive gambler. So whatever money was made, I could never get anything to do work on the house.
Like to upgrade it or something.
And it was to a point where I'm not doing this. I mean, I'd done a lot of work. I didn't mind doing the work in there because it was in bad shape. And he had two dogs I took over, two Jack Russells, two brother dogs that were caged. And I swore when I moved in, I wasn't going to get involved with them, but I got attached to them. Mm-hmm. And,
So is that where you live now?
No.
Is that just where you're maintaining?
No, I'm done with that.
I'm done with that place.
It got to a point where I got robbed, and I think it was an inside job, and it cleaned me out, completely cleaned me out of all my personal things. I had a custom fish tank that I built. It took me 5 years to put together. And I had these exotic South American catfish that I had brought up. Well, I had them from Florida. I got them from Florida. Actually, they're not illegal up here, but as long as they don't get into water systems up here, but I had a male and female, and I smuggled them up into here, and I got them when they were small, 2 inches big. Now the male was about almost a foot and a half long. The female, they were just ready to breed, and they broke that tank. Killed that.
They killed them?
Yeah, well, they tried to, when they took my DVD player, my TV was over top of it, they hit the corner of the tank. And
oh my God.
So that hurt me more than the $5,000 worth of bicycles, because I used to do semi-pro bicycling.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, I used to do Lemon Hill and
no
all.
No wonder you're so fit.
When I worked. Yeah, I love, right, I had some beautiful bikes, and they're all gone. So that hurt me more than anything else that was taken. They just cleaned me out. So it was just...
And that was the location that was at Princeton and State, or Princeton?
Princeton and State, yeah.
And that had the pear trees and the...
Yeah, yeah. And ever since they redid 95, the whole environment changed. What happened was they took a lot of the dirt that was back on the other side of 95. Then you have a section that where Distant Saw was, where it goes all the way down along to the Tony Palmyra Bridge. You got past that, you got Dietz and Watson. All that was back in the beginning of 19th century, whenever they started Distant Saw. I think it was 18 something. That was all, and Romanol's, all that ground is very toxic.
Uh-huh.
So when they dug a lot of that dirt up, they killed all the my trees died in 1 year. Just died.
You're kidding.
They've died. These trees were over 100 years old. I was getting pears. They were so big, and if they hit you in the head, they knock you out. The cherries were like that. They're all done. They were all, everything. And I know it was from that. Everybody that had any problems with breathing, mm-hmm. problems, like older people, along 95, all the way down from Girard Avenue up, that they've been doing, my son's in the medical field. He said, "Dad, it's just nothing but people coming in with," mm-hmm. and it was the same with me. I had to go in respirators, everything else, because I'm a smoker. And yeah, it got so bad with my lungs, the dirt. And we would try to complain to them, and it was so bad with you couldn't even open your windows, mm-hmm. from them doing construction.
Wow. So did you stay in Florida for a good period of time, or did you said you come back on summer?
I would come up every summer. Spend either before I got to that place, I used to stay with my children or get a room. Yeah. Yeah.
So were you, but like, guess this, let's start with, where were you born? Were you born in Philly?
I was born in Olney.
Where?
Olney. Over in Olney, right by Olney High School.
Okay.
Okay,
I've never heard of
Olney. Olney is, do you know where the old Sears building is on the boulevard? The original Sears. With the,
I don't. See, I'm from South Philly, so I never went to
So you heard of Broaden Olney? Yeah. You heard of Broad Street.
Okay.
Well, if you take Broad Street all the way up Olney, and then after Olney, then you would hit Cheltenham. Then you go into Cheltenham.
Okay. So you're born down there?
Yes, I was born in there.
That's part of Philly. So
Yeah. It's Long Crest, Olney, Feltonville.
Uh-huh.
That was an all industrial area. Not so much more of mills back then. But I came up in this area.
That was going to be my next question.
Okay.
What brought you
I've
here?
Been up in this area. I've been recovered. Okay. Now, mean recovery is I've been sober for 22 years off drugs. I do have a beer once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And with me being a roofer contractor, it came with the territory. Back in roofing, and then that's what everybody did. So I got into recovery.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Originally down in a recovery house called 12 Steps down on Franklin Avenue. And then I started a workhouse. Well, I ran a workhouse for that. It was an offset house where guys that were able, after they got done their basic recovery, that then they were ready to go back to work and get back into functioning society. And that's how I believe how you stay sober, and you also have to give back to the program. I'm AA. I do go to NA, CA, all the meetings. I've been to everything. I've even been involved and went to school for people who cut themselves,
yeah.
cutters. So I've been involved in that for almost 30 years. So I came up here, a friend of mine wanted to open a house on Longshore and Torrester,
mm-hmm.
right around the corner, a big house. And he was a recovery, and he wanted us to come in and build bunk beds and get the place ready for recovery. So I moved in there, and I was in there for 2 years. And that's how I started up here.
You started living in Taconic,
right,
doing
yeah,
that?
Yeah. And that's good 20 years ago.
Do you mind my asking? I know it's a personal question. Mm-hmm. You can choose to not answer, but what were you recovering from? What kind of
My original addiction was methamphetamine back in the day. And then when that died, I went to the coke. I didn't get in. Thank the Lord I didn't get into the opiates. I don't do opening.
So when you say, thank God.
Yeah, that's the hardest thing to cut. See, any drug...
I would have imagined that it was opioids because of contractor work and pain in the back.
Well, that's what most of the contractors are on today. They get into the pain pills. And then from the pain pills, you get into it because you can't get them anymore. You use the heroin because it's cheaper and easier to get. The problem with that is it's a physical addiction. See, there's two different kinds of addictions. There's mental addiction and there's physical. If anybody tells you anything different, that cocaine is a physical addiction, it isn't. Unless you've taken a pound of it a day, you're not going to, you'll withdraw to a point where you'll be sick for a couple of days, you know, tired, but not like heroin, not like opiate.
So you're saying like when you have an addiction to heroin, it's because your body feels better?
Your body.
And it feels good?
Well, when you do heroin, I've tried it. It doesn't agree with me. Some people it does. Everybody has a different act for different drugs. Mm-hmm. It's like alcohol. You might like champagne where someone else is a beer drinker.
Right.
It's a preferral. There's people who do... so the opium thing is more of when the kids start to do their pills, it's more like a speedy... Some people speed off, other people nod. You'll see them get naughty like or yeah. drunk like... other people speed off it. The problem with that is when you don't have it, your body hurts.
You will do
anything mm-hmm. under the sun to get what you need. That's why they rob, steal their parents, they steal.
Right.
Where any other kind of drugs, you can, it's physical, you'll go through it, but it's a physical addiction.
It's a mental addiction,
I'm sorry. Yeah, and you can walk away from it.
It might be similar to like coffee for perhaps like
it's like anything
if you drink a lot of coffee like how you feel but it's okay. Not a major like major. You're not going to feel like your body is hurting so bad.
Put it like this: if you never had a piece of chocolate cake, you don't know what it tastes like.
Mm-hmm.
Now you might taste it and it might chocolate might be fine. Wow, wait, I missed this. It's just addiction. It's like a food addiction, sex addiction, gambling's mm-hmm. addiction. It's something that takes you out of yourself. And and there's two types. In my study, there's two types of addictions. You have they say that there isn't
mental and physical.
Well, no, when you can be a a person who uses and normal, go to have a job, have a family,
right.
you're functional.
Yeah.
A lot of people agree, disagree. I believe, and in my years of appearance, and I've been in a lot of recovery houses, I've been in a lot of meetings, I've done a lot of things, and I'm not putting myself, because I'm a functional. I was always went to work.
Yeah.
If I didn't have it, I didn't. If I ran out of what I had, and my guys, they were always, all right, let's go rob some. I'm going home.
Mm.
Where you have people that pick up, and as soon as they pick up, they can't stop. They just keep going and going and going until they're either dead, in jail. Or that's an institution, right. And they destroy whatever they. It's just, and then you have people they can use in on weekends. Or just every day, and you wouldn't even know they used.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, I didn't expect to talk about it, but that's really something that I value.
Well, the whole learning. You don't see it out here. You don't see the girls. It's bad out here.
When you say here, where do you mean?
Right outside, right out front here. You see all the girls out here. Females can stay out longer on addiction because they can make money.
And they can sell. What do you mean by stay out?
They can be out on the streets. They can stay out on their addictions longer because they can make money through their bodies, through prostitutions. I have them coming in 11 years old. I'll tell you a story that you're never going to believe. And this one thing took me, and I'll say this real short. I just was involved with a girl 11 years old. We found in a crack house, hit house, whatever, down in the Badlands, Ancaster. We found her in a doll cage, chained up.
11 years old?
11 years old. Her story is her family, her mother and father, mother's Spanish and father's white, and they're in their 30s. The mother's out there on the street, same as these girls. The father we caught down in Florida, he's no longer. Her father sold her for a bundle of crack. That's like $100 worth of crack cocaine. Sold her to the crack dealers, drug dealers, his own daughter at 10 years old. They used her for everything in sexual manners that you can imagine. Dog cages. She can never have children. She physically can never. Her rectum is unbelievable.
Where did you find her?
There's certain organizations that are a little bit beyond. I can't really get into this.
But is it Philadelphia or
Philadelphia?
Florida?
Oh, yeah, I'm talking Philadelphia. I'm talking, this is the worst. This has been going on, the opiate addiction has been going on for 25 years. Where have they been? They've been, these doctors been getting, selling pills. I could send you to 20 doctors, set you up, make a ton of money. I have people that do it. They have 6, 7, 8, 10 people. They set them up, these doctors, blah, 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 as long as you pay the money, blah, blah, blah. They get the pills, they overdo it. I have a guy who's a multimillionaire, is the biggest pill distributor in one of the biggest in Philadelphia.
This 11-year-old girl.
Okay, let me back to her real quick.
Her father sold her for how much crack?
For like $100. They call it a bundle of crack. It's like,
and
a bundle is, you
he's
get.
He's in jail now?
He's no longer
living.
That's
interesting.
Okay.
And about, where is the 11-year-old girl now?
She's safe. She's in what they call safety house. And that is for women that you, it's like for women, abused women. They have them all over the city. Where women have to get away from their husbands, their boyfriends with children, they put them in houses you're not allowed to
know about.
Right. Okay. They have them all over the city.
And how?
Shelters, they call them.
Did you find this 11-year-old girl?
There's different groups of people that just
find.
Look for that. I talked to her, I interviewed her, she took a liking to me. And she was in her family, her kids, her mother and father had been involved. So she grew up with drugs, bundling, selling. These kids, a lot of these kids out here today go home to families that have tons of drugs, they're dealing drugs, they hustle drugs. That's all they know, that's their life, is drugs. So they don't understand it. They never been to the shore. They never seen the lake. They never been to New Jersey. Half these kids in North Philadelphia have never been off a four block area in their entire life. They don't know where the Northeast is. All right, so this is a whole thing of mine. I'm pretty strong when this opinion comes that the government has a lot to do with this. They knew about this. It's all about money. They knew about the doctors. I mean, come on. You don't have to be a brain surgeon. Millions and millions of dollars. In the 20 years that I've been in, and I used to be involved with this kind of shit, I sold a lot of drugs. I manufactured a lot back in the day. Dealt a lot of, big money. Millionaire planes, kilos, and all that. Thank the Lord that I really never... It was more of a game to me than anything else, but I've seen a lot of people get hurt, including myself.
And it still continues here on Tarsdale?
Come on, girl, that's all they do. They sell right next door to you. They sell in the Chinese store. It's a drug store. They sell inside the store. Put it like this, and this is a real easy way to look at something like that. You have a bug infection in your house, especially roaches. You're never going to get rid of them. You can control them, but you're never going to get rid of them. It's to this point. Look at the homeless down in Kensington. 98% of them homeless people are drug addicted. The needles, now it's not even heroin, it's fentanyl that you can buy online. I can go right on your computer, have it ordered here, it'll be here in 3 days. $180, enough to kill 100,000 people. But
you've seen a lot.
I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot of people die, a lot of people OD'd. If I counted every person in the last 20 years, I would say 300-400 people. Then I've lost 11 people in 6 months, people I grew up with, from the addiction changing from one thing to another. When that's methamphetamine was the biggest. Philadelphia back in the day, I'm talking in the 70s, was the manufacturing of methamphetamines. The labs were all, just in Kensington, you could smell it via me. What happened was that the cocaine got into, was more money made, pushed all that out. All right, so then the crack cocaine got involved. And crack cocaine is a deliverance from coke. It's nothing but coke, but it's an intense high because you inhale it. So it's a whole different kind of intense. It's a, when you smoke it, it's nice. You can snort it, you can inject it. I injected it, I didn't like it, it was too intense for me. I used to snort it. But nowadays they're cutting it with everything under the sink, so you don't know what you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Now they're cutting it with fentanyl, they're cutting it with all kinds of anything.
And so fentanyl is...
Fentanyl is nothing but an elephant tranquilizer. That's where fentanyl comes from. Fentanyl is like, back in the day, back in the 70s, 80s, they had Rodney King, the black guy that was killed, was on PCP.
I don't think he's...
No, he's not. Well, he did. Didn't he just die? Didn't he have a heart attack or something?
Recently?
Well, I've seen, all right, whatever. He was on PCP. And PCP was a horse tranquilizer. Now, what they called it, T. Now, THC is a deliverance from marijuana that used to get as a powder. Now they made it, PCP is what they made. I was on it. I was documented in the hospital. I used it one time. It took 9 interns to put me down. They put me on film. These guys were the biggest football players. They said, we never seen anybody with the strength that you have because you get intense strength. It's unbelievable. And that's why it took so many police to put him down. Now they put it in angel dust. Now you can get it. They call it wet, where it's straight embalming fluid. It's, they're smoking, they dip the cigarette right in embalming fluid. Embalming fluid that they embalm you with. They call it wet. And you smoke that and you ain't moving. It's
just, but you, it wears off or you ain't moving and eventually, you die?
No, you're eventually, well, you're putting embalming fluid in you. So you imagine what it does to your body. And what it does, it gives you a certain kind of high. There's different, all kinds of things you can get high from sniffing glue.
Yeah.
But, you know, but this, we're getting way off the case on this.
I know, that's we're all, getting way off yeah, of the original.
But I could tell you stories that you wouldn't believe.
I know, it sounds like you have a lot of information and education for people, but, and people are fortunate to
I'm done with people. You know what I mean? I'm done with it. Because, first of all, I blame it on the government.
Uh-huh.
And you can put this on fact, that the government involved in this since Vietnam. Okay, they brought it back over, involved, and who got hooked on all the heroin and all that was the blacks. Do you understand? And that's just to keep nationalities down, because they were afraid of the blacks. Because blacks were, back then was the, they were afraid, they wanted to control the blacks because the black people were tired and they were afraid of it, so they pushed drugs in there, and that's how. In Vietnam...
Is that... Well, I mean, I don't think we should go on a tangent about that, but...
Yeah. Let's get back to the flower.
I know, let's get back to the
got me way off base here, girl. When I get on that...
I didn't even expect to go down that...
Well, that could be
road
a whole
there, but... Yeah. But I mean, okay, well then tell me about the garden and what it means to you. Is it part of a recovery?
It's part of my, I started,
plan?
Here's how I started with flowers. My father always had a small yard, but he had the most beautiful roses. And he also had a small vegetable garden. So he would grow tomatoes. Like, my father was an alcoholic, but he was very, very in tune with animals and fishing. He taught me about, he had millionaires come. They wanted my father to take, because he knew how to fish, like down the shore when fishing was good, catch natural shrimp and all that. And He was amazing, and he that and I out of all my brothers and sisters, I took got what he you know what I love. I don't really like people. I'm tired of this, tired of the human race. It's disgusting.
So
I got into picking flowers.
Sorry to hear that.
Oh, I got into picking flowers.
You're so sociable. And I enjoy talking to you, so I understand. I understand what you mean, but it is hard to.
It's just you know what it is people. You know what irks me the worst, and I used to drink in bars. I wasn't really a bar hanger, but I got around. Mm-hmm. And you got bar fly. Oh yeah, this and they're doing it, and they're not doing nothing about it. You know, you talk a lot of shit. Excuse my language. But no one does nothing. They point fingers. Oh, look at this. When it hits their front yard, now we have a problem. Where were you 20 years ago when it's been out here? It's a joke. It's a joke. This country's really a joke. A joke. A joke. This is the worst country for medical, for drug use. A lot of people got rich over this, and now that the new regime has came in, and there's a whole something I really can't get into talking about that I've been involved in since I was a child. Patriotism, it's coming to an end. So it's going to be a whole.
So new you're world. Disheartened, pretty big. I should rephrase that. It's disheartening what we're seeing. I'm with you on that. I see that.
Well, when you look at Jackie, when you look at this world, what do you see? Does it scare you?
Yeah, I feel a lot of fear.
Do you have children?
I don't.
Okay.
Mostly because of my fear.
Okay. But
is there a reason you asked?
No, I'm just wondering because when it comes to children, and thank the Lord, my kids always said, Dad, we know. You don't know. You don't know. And that's why I would keep pushing them about don't get involved with drugs.
Right,
and because.
Right.
Because some people believe it comes from your physical addiction is inherited from your parents or whoever. Some people don't. It's everybody has their own different opinion. I believe it has.
So, bro, what I'm hearing you say is a lot of things, but mainly there is a major drug problem in our country, and it's perpetuated by our government, and that's the part that a lot of us are unwilling to admit, and so therefore we don't know. Is that what you mean?
I'm thinking, how can you in 20 years with some kind of stupid education? Now most people that aren't involved with that drug scene or in a lot of people, you'd be surprised, a lot of people are in recovery that don't talk about because they grew up out of it, that I worked with, and now are considered assets to the community. Mm-hmm. Rich, don't you ever tell anybody about what I used to be.
No, I know, and that's why
and
it's
I
anonymous.
Understand, you know, and because, mm-hmm. because the world judge you on not who you are, on
right?
what you own.
That's
and that's what's disgusting.
Well, that's complicated, and that's a human condition.
It's a whole different thing, and it's and then you get into religious and all this. You know what? The bottom line is this country ain't got too much longer. I see visions. You know, you can put leave this. I don't care. I've been seeing visions since I've been a child. I see into the future. I feel a lot. One of the reasons when I used to get high, I really could feel a lot.
Yeah, you absorb.
I still like to have my drink, my beer.
Let's talk about the garden.
Okay,
that's
good.
I mean, like, I
well, let me tell you how I
used
to. How I used to.
And Rich, I really want to tell you I value everything that you're saying.
Yeah, we got really off base on this.
But no, I feel, as off base as it might have been, it still was really important for me to hear. And I really feel like
yeah,
I learned
it's just
a lot,
something you,
but
you're not really, you're, listen.
I don't worry.
You're the first person that I in my whole entire life that I ever did anything like this. I don't really go to newspaper. I try to go to my committee people, and they look at me like I got three heads. You know what I mean? See, I'm on the street. I'm a soldier. I'm on the street. I see it every day.
Right.
I see it back in my parks. See, I don't just look at the park, I'm in the park. I know every part of that park, behind the railroad tracks, inside. I know what goes on, I know where they live, where people live, I see it all. And then when they see it, oh, 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 you know.
I have to admit that that's why I thought that you were doing the, when you told me about your garden, A, it sounded to me like a place of recovery.
It's my sanctuary.
Sorry?
It's my sanctuary.
Right, it's your sanctuary. But also, it sounded like you wanted to offer it up to people that you see around.
You know why I do
it? Like, because it's a place
for
people
to really, one of the reasons why
let
I
go
it.
And just...
Because I've taken from this country all my life. And I wanted to give... What I really wanted to do, girl, and it was amazing, was I live right across, I'm at Princeton and State Road. Now that whole hill from Princeton all the way down to that next street is not, I watched them redo the hill, and then got 95. Now it's a big hill, it's all fenced in. I had it written all designed down, I would need to do a welcome to the future of Tytonian flowers and what.
Yeah.
It would have been beautiful.
Yeah.
I had it all drawn out. But it takes connections and money to do it. I would have
done.
And
why did you want to do that, though? I think
because
that's what
it was just something I seen. And every day I sit outside, I watch them take it from piles of dirt and make it, form it into a dirt. Then they laid the grass and the netting and made it grass. Now, look at it now. It's not but weeds.
Nothing.
You could have made it, and it had it fenced in where I had the gate.
So you took this 40 by 40 plot of land that had a garden on it. It was maintained by a gentleman that was before you.
Yeah.
But you came along
it
and just cleaned out all...
God gave it. Don't you understand, girl? This ain't me who does this. When I get into my flower moods, I'm a different
what's
person.
What's a flower mood?
When I make my flower arrangements,
yeah.
I'm in a whole different... It's like when you do your artwork. Don't you ever get that where you get to a... It's a special... place that and it's just like a high. It's like wow, it's like everything's connecting into my artwork. That's my art, my flower.
Oh,
where it came from, don't ask me. I believe it comes from my Lord, because my Lord gives me what I love.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I do I serve him all the time? No. Am I a sinner? Yes. Do I think about, I'm a man, I think about sex, I think about, you know what I mean? And so my belief in that, it's just, it takes money, girl. Everything in this world takes money.
What do you mean it takes money?
It takes money to do things. I'm sorry to say, or connections, and you gotta have connections.
But hold on a minute, your garden.
That's mine.
You were just telling
that
me
comes
how
from me.
It will, the thing that I love about gardens or even nature, or it will happen with or without money, it will happen with or without us,
right.
It will happen,
right.
the earth goes on with or without
always.
Humans.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, we'll hopefully we can maintain it and keep it, like get it back into better shape so that we can live here with a little bit more clear lungs. But if we all were like washed out, the earth would still regenerate and flowers will bloom,
survive. Yeah.
And you know, and it will create. And so that was what, when you were about to say that, like, you go into this place while you're gardening, it's because we're communing with what nature, because we're animals. That's what I think is, like, we're animals. We were put on this earth.
Right.
You know, neither you nor I had a real choice as to where we landed, you know. And we're like, do you think?
Sure. You have a choice in what you want to be in life.
No, but I mean, like, I was born in Philadelphia. I was lucky that I was born in Philadelphia and not in a desert. Or, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
so
we're very blessed.
I'm getting very primitive, you know?
Oh,
it's like, so
you
when
want...
you're communing, in my opinion, when you commune with, like, when you're, like, maintaining your garden and maintaining... you know, you're weeding or whatever, it's like part of this, like, very primitive part of us. And I think that I'm sorry if I impose that upon you, but
no,
that's where the high comes
but
from
don't
being
you,
with gardening.
Right. Or your work,
on,
it doesn't mean...
In the soil.
See, this is your... This is your gift.
Yeah, well,
who
I mean,
gives you this gift?
He's pointing towards the cyanotypes.
I believe yes, your gifts, from your gifts, the gifts everybody has something.
I think I just sounded crazy. Did I sound crazy?
No,
to you?
I think that would sound cool as shit. Oh, excuse my language. Cool. I think that was, you got that, you got
some, I went crazy.
That came from
you.
This, girl. That came from this. And it was like, wow, she's coming in. Now, see, that's, oh, it's hard to do that, to be relaxed and to talk like that. It's coming from your heart.
Yeah.
It's what you feel. And people don't want to bring out what they feel what they, because they're scared. People are scared to bring out.
I'm not afraid to open.
Because what happens is you get crucified. When you talk about things that, oh, there's people, and they're going to put you down.
You know, I'm going to just interject one thing, and that is that growing up in the Philadelphia area and coming to Philly, I remember being different as an artist. And I was, when you say crucified, I know exactly what you mean. It's like you're different. People don't. Except different.
Definitely.
And I frequently was always made to feel like I was weird or, and I, you know, at some
out of
point
place. You're not part of the clique.
Yeah, or no, I'm not doing the, like, I'm not falling in line, you know, and I think that I can't quite recall when I decided that I didn't give a shit, but
when did you start doing like your artwork? Did you when
well
you,
I mean the value of it appeared to me when I was 13. So
did you,
I started photographing back
then
with my mom, and that was how my mom and I would connect through the art world, or because she was taking classes, art classes, and so she took that opportunity to teach my sister and I what she was learning, and that's when I picked it up. And so I was weirdo from 13 year on, but it was what I valued so much that I was like, I saw it as an affront, you know. It's like, oh yeah, you want to make fun of me? I think you're the one that's suffering more than me. So, I mean, like,
so you look, yeah.
It's not, sure. I was always like, felt different, but I want to get back to is just more like, I don't feel fear about.
Were you a loner? Or were you,
no.
Did you have, and well, tell me friends. Something about you.
Would no, you wait, wait, yeah, wait, yeah, wait, wait, I want to do this really quick. Well, we can
yeah,
go on forever,
finish,
but we're
yeah.
about to
sure run out
reach
of time.
The 42nd minute. And I just wanted to see if you wanted to remain anonymous. Think about what you just talked about. And if not, would you share your name with me? First name is
sure.
fine. You don't have to. Think about
my
it.
My name is Richard.
Okay.
And my last name is Springman.
Wonderful. Do I have your permission to
sure.
publish this?
Sure.
Okay. So let's continue. You wanted to ask me. My name's Jackie Neal. I was born in Center City.
Where's Center City?
My family's from South Philly. I'm Italian, even though I don't look it.
Yeah, you have red hair. I like
that. I don't. Do I have red hair?
Well,
now?
Sort of like reddish. Is
it
that you not?
It changes all the red, time.
But you
it's
have
all
your,
natural.
You have real light eyebrows. That's so.
That's so funny. I have light eyebrows.
No, you do. Your eyebrows
are. Blonde.
So you were. Not,
I fall in the blonde category. Yeah.
I enjoyed
about
this.
The garden, yeah. Well, wait, remember you had something you wanted to tell me about Distansall, right? Didn't you want to tell me something about that?
I really need to get in touch with, I really like what they're doing down the river.
Yeah.
That really turns me on, except
are
I can't.
Are you talking about like the old factory buildings that they're?
Well, they're doing a down by Tony Pamire Bridge. It's been for the last couple of years from Distansall all the way down to Deaton Watson. They have actually a road back there, a small path. You can ride your bike. What I would love to see is the whole thing connected all the way down to town. See, our side of the river is so bad. If you go over to on the other side in New Jersey, it's like natural.
Yeah.
I can go into the water and pick up natural freshwater clams, and I'm talking right over the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
That's a natural Jersey. That's a natural island right there.
Mm-hmm.
That is all. If you go into there, they have drainages from the river. It drains into a big. The army came in and dug it out. It's all swampland with wild turkey and wild.
You're kidding.
It's like you're in a whole different world.
So that's that little island that's between here.
Yeah, when you go over the bridge, you ever see that little
Palmyra?
Building? There's a
yeah.
building there. You got to go in it. They have all the, it's a historical thing. Oh, yeah. Now, why they.
So you want to do something on this side?
They started a little bit of, redoing the river on our side because they want to bring it back to the natural way it looks.
Like native plants and
right.
Native.
And they've fed it. That's why all these plants that they've grown. Now, this has been, they've been doing this for quite many years. They do a little each year.